Welcome back. Is that the first time you've heard about Good Neighbor Day? Well, you're not alone. It was mine as well when I first heard that announcement. So thanks to Inessa Manning for reaching out to us here at QATV through Robert Pearson, by the way, of the Norfolk County RSVP program to connect us to the Massachusetts Coalition to Build Community and End Loneliness. Inessa, mm-hmm. It's great to meet you.
Yes, it's great to meet you as well. Yeah. Thank you so much for having us here.
You're very welcome. Like I said, first I'd heard of it, but it's 5 years old, right?
Yes. Yes, well, and it's older than that. Okay. So it actually dates back, National Good Neighbor Day at least, dates back into the 1970s. Yeah. There was a woman living in Lakeside, Montana, who decided it was a good occasion to get together with her neighbors and sort of made this an annual occurrence. And then in 1978, it caught the attention of President Jimmy Carter, who proclaimed the day National Good Neighbor Day, and it's been a day on our calendar ever since.
Yeah.
But here in Massachusetts, it's really sort of become more of a focus since I would say about 2019, when the Task Force to End Loneliness was first formed. Mm. And they, the very first thing they did is convene a series of four conversations across the state to really get at the problem of loneliness and social isolation and hear what was going on. And they found that it really was a widespread sense of disconnection that people, residents of our state, were experiencing, that people didn't understand the really harmful impacts of loneliness on one's health. So one really startling statistic that that gets mentioned is loneliness can be as bad for your mortality as smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
Yeah.
So it's really more than just a feeling. It really does have some health impacts.
Even the U.S. Attorney General, Surgeon General rather, Vivek Murthy has chimed in on this, right?
Yes. So for the last 4 years, the coalition or the task force has held summits on national or on Good Neighbor Day on September 28th.
Yeah.
So finding it a good opportunity to come together and hear about what was going on in the state. And then in 2023, the U.S. Surgeon General issued his report that really highlighted the epidemic of loneliness that we're experiencing across the country.
And the health effects, the actual physical effects it has
correct,
on people, right?
Correct,
not only
yes.
the emotional effects.
Yes, yeah. correct. That it has been, studies have shown that it can be harmful for the body in a number of different ways, that at their core, humans are social creatures, and really maintaining contact and connections with one another is important.
Interestingly, the task force was mm-hmm. formed pre-pandemic.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
So these trends in loneliness and social isolation can trace back decades. So it's not just, I think oftentimes people do think that it is during the pandemic when we were experiencing isolation that that's really when it all began. But the research does show that it reaches out before that. But what I would say is
yeah.
with the pandemic, I think we all experienced how painful social isolation and loneliness can be. And for some of us, we've been able to kind of move forward from that,
yeah.
regain our social ties. But there's a large, large percentage of people that have found that more challenging. And it's really important that we not forget about them and not forget about the pain that they're experiencing and try to bring them together.
Right. Well, it certainly brought a little closer to home to folks who might not have experienced that in the past, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now they can empathize with it a little more because
correct.
They themselves experienced it.
Correct, yes.
But it exacerbated it for folks who already were experiencing it.
Exactly,
right? Yeah.
Exactly, yes.
So the effort here is to kind of break them out of their shell, right?
Exactly.
Even just
exactly.
a little bit.
Yeah.
yeah.
So in past years, the task force, which then became the coalition,
yeah.
and now we have over 180 members from 100 different organizations statewide wow. that are part of our movement. So instead of just doing a summit to talk about the issues and talk about the research and best practices, and all of that, of course, is tremendously important. But we also wanted to sort of adhere to the U.S. Surgeon General's call, which was for individuals and communities to step forward
mm-hmm.
and take action and try to find ways to really break down silos and ways to bring people together.
Yeah.
So we have really focused this year on Massachusetts Good Neighbor Day and using that as an opportunity to encourage communities to come up with activities and events that are designed to increase those social bonds.
Yeah, it's Saturday, September 28th, right?
Saturday, so September 28th.
Yeah, so it's Saturday. There's a good start anyway. Folks are around, mm-hmm. right?
Exactly. We've gotten some great support from the governor. So
okay.
Governor Maura Healey has officially proclaimed the day statewide as Massachusetts Good Neighbor Day. So
okay.
it's nice to have that high level support as well.
Yeah. What will be happening, Inessa, on Saturday, September 28th in Massachusetts for Good Neighbor Day?
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different things going on. So we have events ranging from the city of Framingham is hosting a joiner fair outside of its city hall, where they're inviting organizations and community groups to talk about what activities they are doing and try to encourage individuals that might stop by the joiner fair to join in their efforts. So it's really serving as a way for people to join and participate and form those social bonds. So that's happening in Framingham. There's events in the western part of the state. We have the beautiful town of Northampton, who is hosting a scavenger hunt. And people can sign up either as preformed groups or as individuals, and they will be matched with others. And they'll be giving the list of kind of iconic landmarks in their town.
That's kind of fun.
To find together. And the idea there is, you know, somebody might be alone, but they're encouraged to come on out, be matched with somebody else, and maybe forge some new bonds.
Yeah, well, you have a common goal right off the start, right?
Exactly.
So there you have that connection to begin with.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what really we've found, is that participating in some kind of shared activity really, really does help break the ice, make people feel more comfortable.
Right.
And then it can also encourage people to stay connected through that joint activity.
Yeah, it's a starting point, right? Say, hey, I had so much fun at this today. You want to try doing something else next
something
week
else.
Or something?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
And we have other events going on throughout the state. Multi-generational dinners are being hosted. So trying to reach across the generations, because the research has found that older adults experience high rates of loneliness, but also younger adults experience really high rates of loneliness as well.
Okay.
Yes.
Has any of the research pointed to the trend on social media, Inessa, you know, and the way the way sometimes social really is antisocial?
People can become disconnected.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's a lot of research into this area, and I would say what it sort of shows both impacts.
Okay.
So on one hand, social media and in the web can be ways that people can find out about events.
You know, it's a tool, right?
It's a tool, right? So when used as a tool to find how to join people, that can be productive and helpful.
Mm-hmm.
It can also be a way for some people that might be homebound and might lack some mobility, or there might be transportation challenges. It provides them a forum to stay connected with other people.
Okay.
So there's not just the harmful impacts, although that's definitely, you know, some worrying trends out there as well.
Right.
But there is sort of, it can be, when it, as you said, when it can be used as a tool to create those connections, I think you can find some positive impacts as well.
Yeah.
So, but I think that's something that researchers are definitely really focused on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. A lot of the suggestions off your website, by the way, andlonelinessma.com.
Correct, andlonelinessma.com,
is a good place to go.
Yeah.
But some of the ones that I just picked out, thought we could talk about, maybe give folks some ideas of what to do on that day.
Great,
Are hosting a generations over dinner to bring multiple generations together. So you're talking about within families or within neighborhoods?
It can really be both.
Okay.
So it really, we're trying to get the word out about Good Neighbor Day here in Massachusetts, encouraging people to take the action that they feel that they're able to. So if you're an individual and, you know, September 28th is coming up pretty quick, it might be harder to engage, you know, with multiple groups throughout your community, but maybe what you can do is invite your neighbors over, and maybe your neighbors range in age, or invite family to come over and connect. So it can be sort of a personal event that's being hosted at a private town or a private home.
Okay.
And we do have a number of coalition members that are hosting events like that.
Okay.
And then we have other towns. Millbury comes to mind. So they are hosting a multi-generation dinner at a historic home that's in Millbury.
Mm.
And they're going to be inviting people of all ages, and they're going to have students from the local high school serving the meal as well. So making sure that there's some younger folks attending also.
Okay. All right. Well, food is a great common denominator, right?
Yes. We often find that food can help break the ice and bring people together, for sure.
Music, I think, can be another one, you know, maybe.
Yep. Music, I think, also. I think, as we were talking about, any kind of shared activity, I think, really, really helps people to forge those connections. We have one coalition member who's hosting a percussion circle in his home.
Okay.
So he's inviting neighbors from up and down his street. Not all of them know each other really well. And so his thought is, you know, rather than just serve coffee or food, that he'd actually try to encourage them to participate participate in an activity that he and that he enjoys doing.
Sure.
So, yeah.
The good old-fashioned arrange a block party.
Correct. Yes. Yes. And yeah. and that can be that can sometimes feel daunting because people arranging yeah. that feel like they have to put up a lot of flyers
right.
and organize all the food. But it could be as simple as sending out an email to your street listserv mm-hmm. or knocking on doors and letting people know, hey, I'm going to be outside for such and such hours. Bring your own food.
Okay.
Have people really bring their own food so it doesn't take so much organizing from one person.
Bring a lawn chair or something. Or,
exactly. And we're just gonna going to hang out and get to know one another.
Sure, sure. Dedicating a happy to chat bench in your neighborhood.
Yes, so this is a program that's
really?
Been happening statewide, and some communities have, many communities have done this.
Yeah.
And the idea is to designate a bench, or you could purchase a new one, or designate an existing one, label it as a happy to chat bench, and somebody who's sitting there, it sort of indicates that, yes, they're willing to engage, they're willing to chat. So if you see somebody sitting alone at one of these happy to chat benches, and you see the title there, you can come on by and say hello and introduce yourself and hopefully get to know a new friend.
Sure. Even if it's just for that afternoon, right?
Correct.
I mean, it's that time and space.
Right.
Where you're happening.
Yep.
Organize a group walk.
Yep. That's one that I love. I feel like that's super easy to do. So you can just let people know I'm going to be walking around. Maybe you have a local reservoir with a nice trail or a local park. And just organize a day and time that you're going to meet up and walk. And if it's one or two people that show up, that can begin building something, and maybe it's more. And so not only are you able to engage with somebody else, but you're participating in some physical activity,
which is also
helpful. Yep. And we've had such a lovely fall this year.
Yes.
That's pretty incredible. So it's definitely, let's get out there while we can.
Yes.
Yeah, we know that's not possible for everybody.
Right.
There are some people that might have those mobility challenges. But it is an easy way for to get some people together in a casual way.
Something that we do here in Quincy, arrange a musical porch fest celebration, which takes a little more logistical planning, than just throwing some music out on your front porch.
Correct. And, So that takes a little bit of coordination.
Yeah.
You have to have people that are willing to host the band and then find the band.
Yes. Yeah.
But I think our town, and I live in Lexington, Massachusetts, and Lexington also has a porch fest, which this year is happening on September 28th, which is
convenient.
Wonderful. Yes, exactly. And so we found that there's many really talented local student musicians, so it's fairly easy to arrange, at least to try to get interested bands to participate, and then there's a little bit of coordination and logistics.
Right. It's hugely successful here in Quincy. It really has taken off.
Yeah.
I think a lot of communities, do have events that are happening. Sometimes the roadblock I see is learning about them, because there's no kind of one central clearinghouse where folks can go to learn about them.
That's really true.
It's all very kind of splintered. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's when we were talking about social media, that can be one forum for word to get out about events, but not everybody's on social media.
Exactly.
People might be overloaded with many other social media messages.
Yeah.
So
it
can be hard. We do have on our website, which you mentioned, the endlonelinessma.com, under initiatives, we have a number of resources available for Good Neighbor Day. So under initiatives, there's a Good Neighbor Day page, and we have a toolkit to help people in planning activities. And we also have a map of what activities that we've heard about that are happening across the state.
All right,
so people can take a look there and see what's happening on September 28th.
Yeah. Are there any virtual events on that day?
There are. So the city of Boston
is
hosting a social media campaign. And then there's another event, I believe the organization's called Solo Network, but it's on our website.
Okay.
So they're hosting a virtual event as well.
Okay.
So there's a few different options to take a look at.
Yeah. Can you talk, Inessa, about any kind of past success stories, that have come out of Good Neighbor Day?
Yeah. Well, I think that the past success, or really it's what we're doing this year, which is a result of the past Good Neighbor Day.
Okay.
So as I mentioned, the coalition has hosted these summits on Good Neighbor Day. And in that they've talked about, these are our goals and objectives for the next year. So really what came out of last year's summit was the desire to move from just like a reporting out tool to actually taking that action.
Okay.
But I think the summits allowed the coalition to really begin to get the word out there about this problem. Mm-hmm. There's still, you know, more awareness that can be built. There's definitely, you know, more attention that could be given to Massachusetts Good Neighbor Day in the future.
Yeah.
But we're sort of at this starting point now, right? Of,
okay.
You know, we're going to do what we can this year and really highlight some of the real successes that we've seen.
It really takes a leader, an mm-hmm. organizer, to kind of mm-hmm. get things moving, right? Because nobody wants to be the first, you know, to say, I'll host the block party, right? Or I'll found a Porch Fest. It takes an individual with that kind of commitment and dedication.
Right. I think you find like movements are sort of contagious,
yes,
right? That if you have one person, if you see across town a block party going on, you might be inclined to say, hey, that worked for them, let me give that a try too.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. No specific events here in Quincy, right?
Not that we're aware of.
Yeah.
So we do know that communities have been hearing the word since the governor has proclaimed September 28th as Massachusetts Good Neighbor Day. So if anybody who's listening right now has events to share, we have a way to do that on the website as well.
Okay.
So if there's events that are happening that we just don't know about yet, share those events and we'll get you added to the map. And even I would just encourage just private citizens, if this idea appeals to you, you know, maybe look two houses to your left, two houses to your right, or two apartments to your left, two apartments to your right, whatever the situation is. Invite them over on Saturday. It could be, you know, 45 minutes or an hour. Play, you know, a game of cards, drink a cup of coffee, keep it casual, but try to forge some new bonds.
That alone can be very difficult for some people.
It can be.
Yeah.
It can feel scary, sure.
Exactly.
Sure. Venturing out of your comfort zone can be something that is challenging,
right.
But there really is a harmful impact of loneliness and social isolation.
Yeah.
And so maybe being aware of that and taking that risk, and then you will reap those social health rewards.
Great to meet you, Inessa, and spread a little bit of information about this day. We hope we helped get the message out for you.
Yeah, thank you so much again, and thank you, Robert, for making the connection.
That's right, which is another great way, actually, to make connections, volunteering.
Exactly, yes. Yes, if you live in Framingham, go down to Framingham and join up their joiner fair there.
There you go. Mm-hmm. All right, happy Good Neighbor Day.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.